It was true in most of the world for many, many millennia, and probably still true here and there today, that there were kings who ruled vast territories, and their rule was absolute. They had the power of life and death over everyone. No one was allowed to even come into their presence without first being tested, without being first being checked for weapons, as we are today, going into our schools, unfortunately. And very often when someone came into the king's court in order to see the king, they were not permitted to walk in as a normal person would do and up to the throne where the king was. But rather, they had to come in bent over at the waist like this, their hands outstretched to show that there were no weapons, and in some cases they even had to crawl up that long runway to where the king's throne was in order to bring their petition before the king, a petition for help or for judgment against someone with whom they had a contest. That was the way you approached a king. And it's been true across time and around the world that slaves, and they still exist today, when the master comes into the room, the slaves are required to avert their eyes and to sort of turn their head like that. In fact, I've read that it's even true today that in the homes of some Hollywood stars, and I think other people who are very well-to-do, when they have household help, they are instructed, you are never to look so-and-so in the eyes. When the owner of the home, the celebrity, walks in a room, the household help is not permitted to look into his or her eyes. They must avert their eyes and turn like that, unless called upon. It's the way slaves and servants have been treated throughout time. But Jesus came to set the captives free, the slaves and the servants. And he is, as the song that we sang earlier, the lifter of our heads. Instead of being like this, head bowed, eyes averted, he is the lifter of our heads. There was the time, you remember, when Jesus went into the temple, his father's house, he called it, and he overturned tables and drove out the money changers. After he had done that, he said this, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a place of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And then the blind and the lame came to him, and he healed them there in the temple. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and even heard the little children who were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." The children got it. The children understood. The children, seeing the miracles, said, "Praise God for the Son of David," referring to Jesus. But the very next line says that the religious leaders and the teachers of the law were indignant. Indignant. The children understood, but the religious authorities were indignant. Some parents bring their children to see Jesus so he can touch them and bless them. And the disciples immediately say, "Oh, no, no, don't bother the master. Keep the children away." And Jesus calls the children and says to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is referring to the children now, saying that they have faith. In fact, he says anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith, childlike faith, will never get into the kingdom of God. I don't think it was just the parents who decided to bring their kids to Jesus. I think the kids wanted to go to Jesus. We know the children in the temple, seeing what Jesus did, praised God for the Son of David. the children understood what was going on. And when the parents brought those children, I will bet money that they wanted immediately to rush over to where Jesus was and grab onto his legs and gather around him and hang on. But the disciples executed protocol. They said, here's the protocol. Keep the children away. Don't bother the master. Very much in keeping with human protocol, the way we do things. You know, the authority figures and those of us who are just the hoi polloi, we're really not permitted to go before the authority figures. We have to avert our eyes unless they give us permission to look. We've seen in this church, and I've seen in other churches, where when we serve communion up here around the Lord's table, every now and then there will be a kid who starts in the back of the room and runs headlong up to the altar to get communion. I've even heard them shout doing that, "Wait for me! Wait for me!" This is what Jesus honors. It's that enthusiasm for him. And you know that even in the kingdoms of the greatest potentates, that while the children were still young and before they could really be trained in the protocol, when the children came into the throne room, they didn't come in on their knees. They ran up to where Daddy was sitting on the throne and grabbed onto his legs and said, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 Daddy." Without any self-consciousness about their desire to be with the one that they loved and who loved them. Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves." So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. For the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. Luke 10:11, "For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is opened to everyone who knocks. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is saying here explicitly that when we ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, he won't trick us and give us something else. No more than a sinful parent would trick the child and give them a scorpion or a snake. He will give us what it is that we desire. He will give us the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised to us. And back in Romans 8:14, which I read just a moment ago, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." You see how these two passages tie together? So you shouldn't be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And so then the reading which we heard this morning from the book of Hebrews, starting in Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Nothing in creation can hide from him. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain all that we have done." A frightening prospect. Except that then it says, "That is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus the Son of God. Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it." The message today is very short, and it's very direct. Scripture tells us that we are children of God, and it tells us to come boldly before His throne, that we are welcome there before the King of the universe, before the one who created everything, that we are welcome there as children are welcome. And we can call Him Father, dear Father. We do not have to obey human protocol. As much as He is greater than we are, nevertheless He tells us that He regards us as His children, and that we are welcomed as His children to come to His throne boldly, not cowering like fearful slaves, but boldly. When we come before Him with our prayers, which we will do in just a few minutes, He encourages us, therefore, to bring those prayers boldly to the throne, like children, not with the protocols of human beings, not with the fears of human beings, not with courts constructed the way fearful kings construct their courts, afraid that anyone coming through that door is there to kill, and requiring kneeling and hands open to show that there are no weapons. Our God doesn't require that because He's not afraid. He's not afraid. He has welcomed us into His family. He's adopted us. And He has said, you have access to this throne to come boldly before it. Now, He doesn't grant that to everyone. There are people alive in this world, and I was certainly counted among them, who ought to be fearful of going before the throne of God. But those who have taken His Son as their own and who have put their faith in Him, He promises His good gifts. He promises His Holy Spirit. Now, we might look around this day at the balloons tied to the chairs. My human protocol would say, what are you doing? Balloons in church? What are you doing? We have somehow lost the ability to be little children. I dare you to find one child in this church or in this world who would come into this room and think there was something wrong with the balloons here present. Find one. And that's exactly what all of this scripture is telling us. We are His children. We ought to come with the joy of His children because He desires to bless us as His children. We ought to come not with human protocols, but with what Jesus has told us we can do. We can come boldly. And so let us boldly come before the throne. Let us ask boldly for the Holy Spirit. Let us ask boldly for the courage to share the message with those who haven't heard it. And let us be able to share with them boldly our joy as children celebrating in the throne room, not as cowering, fearful slaves. It is the joy that He promises to His children, which is our inheritance. Not that there is no suffering. We would willingly suffer for the one who died for us. But He desires that we be with Him. He desires that we be His children. And He desires that we behave as children, not as humans puffed up with themselves and their own protocols. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for myself certainly and for each of us. Jesus came to set the captives free. Help Him to set our hearts free to worship You and to pray to You and to come boldly before Your throne, because it is what You have asked us to do. In His name we pray. Amen.